Just waiting 1 second while they set up the chairs.
Okay, you're ready.
Or Tim otherwise settles himself on the deck. Okay. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the regular council meeting of August 14th, 2017. Time in 7:02. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapote?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Ticton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Ellenthal?
Here. I'm going to skip over the mayor's report for the moment, directly to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion for approval of the June 1 special meeting executive session minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion at the table? Questions or comments? There being none, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Can I get a motion on the June 12, 2017 regular meeting?
Okay, so
minutes
moved.
Thereof. Sorry.
Second.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the table? There being none, can I have a roll, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Thank you. I have a motion on the June 12 executive session minutes.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Questions or comments from the table? There being none, may I have the roll, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Moving right along, on July 10th, 2017, we had a regular meeting. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes thereof?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
Thank you. Dr. Lapote. Any comments or questions or changes from the table? There being none, we're moving right along. May I have a roll, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
And last and certainly not least, July 18th, 2017, special meeting regular session minutes. May I have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Questions, comments, or changes from the table? There being none, let's move to roll, please.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapote?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move to public comment on the consent agenda. Let me just check one. Okay, so there is in the consent agenda, I'm sorry, I thought that was moved out. Mr. Hamilton had placed a new resolution this afternoon authorizing or for approval, authorizing Trenton Roofing and Siding to replace the Roosevelt Borough Hall roof, gutters, and soffits. The amount is about $11,006, I think. All right, Mike?
Yeah, $11,620.
That was included in the consent resolution. The consent agenda. Since that is new, I don't know if the public wants a chance to take a quick look at it. I'll otherwise ask if there are any comments, public comments on the consent agenda. There being none. Okay. Can I have a motion on the consent agenda?
Some. Second.
And can I have a call of the roll, please?
I'd just like to add one thing, since that is a new item on the agenda about the roofing project, that it still needs to have SHPO approval, the State Historic Preservation Office.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be done relatively quickly. I spoke to them today, and they said it's just a pro forma thing. There's an application for it, but it takes a couple weeks, and they just need to take a look and make sure we're not structurally changing it in any way.
Is this building is on the architect on the historical? It wasn't built in 1936 or 37 or 38 or 39.
I know, but it's part of the historic district, unfortunately. Well, or fortunately, but fortunately, yeah. But we do need approval, and according to them, it shouldn't be any problem.
With respect to this building, I'd say unfortunately, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. May I have a
on a question, Jeff?
Let's back up. This is the consent agenda. Would you like to pull something from the consent agenda?
No. A question on it.
You'd have to pull it.
I have to pull it to talk about it?
Yeah, so just tell me which one.
First one, 17-100.
17-100, okay.
And I don't want to pull it. I just want a simple one.
Well, that's how we discuss it, so we'll just... Okay. All right, so can I have a motion, an amended motion on the consent agenda as it appears with the exception of Resolution 17-100?
So moved.
Have a second?
Second. Go ahead, Stacy.
And may I have a roll, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Trammell, Resolution 17-100.
The question is, who installs this? I see that the amount of money is one for the... approved by George Lang, and the monies for the equipment is another amount.
We previously approved this at the last meeting. The problem was that the certification of funds and the certification of funds was fine. The proposal was fine, but when it went into the resolution, two numbers got transposed. So we're just doing this to correct the last one. Who installs it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I think HOC is going to install it because they include two calibrations, one when they install it, and after a year's maintenance, they come back and do another calibration. So I think that, that's the normal procedure.
I didn't see that they installed it in there anywhere. But for that amount of money, that's great. You know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can assume that Hatch is installing it?
HOC.
I don't assume anything, but...
Let's see if it's on one of these. I guess it probably isn't because we didn't approve it yet.
If it doesn't give us feedback, sure. Henry, there's seats over there. And I'll try to stay closer to the microphone. Okay. And everybody else will try to stay closer to the microphone, please. Okay, so do I have a motion to approve Resolution 17-100?
So moved.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
And may I have a roll, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move on to other resolutions. There are none. We then move to reports of committee chairs, starting with Mr. Hamilton, Public Works.
As was on the agenda, we do have a good quote for the roofing project from Trenton Roofing and Siding, $6,375 for the roofing, $1,995 for the gutters and downspouts, and $3,250 for all new soffits. We reviewed it. We looked through it carefully, and it looks to be a complete quote with all the things that we were looking to do. It's well below the bid threshold, and the funding's in place already. The only thing, again, that I mentioned before that may hold it up just for a few weeks is that we need the State Historic Preservation Office review of it because it is a building in a historic district. And part of a historic zone, and so they will send somebody out. But since there's no major structural changes that we're doing, and they understand we're doing it to actually preserve the building and keeping it from, you know, flooding and cracks occurring in it, I think they said that they'd be likely to approve it quickly. I met with Carmela Roberts, who's our engineer for everything other than utilities, because we received notice of the New Jersey Department of Transportation grant program, and there's a deadline for that on October 6th, and before I went away on vacation a week ago, I wanted to make sure that we got moving on that and at least got some information and some recommendations from her as to the kind of things we might want to apply for under the grant program. And it was a good meeting. We reviewed our history of road grants that were applied for and received over the years. And she made a visual representation, and I have a map of the town, and she coded it and put in all the different sections that were where we got grant money and we actually made improvements. And it was a good visual representation because it really showed to me that we've done our we've been diligent in applying for road improvement grants over the years, and we really have worked hard at it. And it seems like they're on about an every other year schedule. They seem to approve money for us every couple of years. And it's really a significant amount of money, and it saves the taxpayers a lot of money because road improvements are expensive, and it makes the borough share of road improvements a lot less. So Carmela reviewed the grant categories in the DOT material, and we tried to work out what fit best into our needs and also fit the grant criteria. Her recommendations, and I asked her to send a letter to the mayor and council in this regard, were to complete the second half of NERCO Road, which we had completed one half of it, I guess. I don't know if it's half of it, but the section not connected to Route 571. But her recommendation is to apply for a grant to complete the other part of NERCO Road, which connects with 571, and that would be a good grant to apply for since it connects with the county road. They'd be likely to approve it. And also her recommendation is that we tag on another project to that, which is something that wouldn't be likely to get approved on its own because it's a minor thing. So she thought we could also apply for municipal aid to redo Elm Court. Those were her recommendations, but I'm just trying to get the information and the ball rolling on and get a discussion on the possible grants that are available in the road work we might want to apply for grants on. And so I'm just throwing that out and just getting the ball rolling on that. So if there are any questions on that, I'm glad to answer any questions. And again, we'll be discussing that. We have until October 6th. She seems to think that we have plenty of time to do that. So opening that up to the council for discussion.
Another reason why the NERCO Road project would be good and probably favorable with the state is that it's an intermunicipal benefit.
Yeah.
We usually like something that benefits two municipalities.
Right. Yeah.
That road is used more by Millstone people than it is by Roseville people. But
yeah.
Certainly make a good case for that.
Mike, while you were meeting with her, did you by any chance discuss the repairs to the first aid building or our HVAC systems?
Briefly. She had just gotten back from vacation, so she didn't have a lot of time. Like anybody else, when they get back, they find that they have a lot of paperwork and a lot of things to deal with. I did tell her that we would want to be talking to her, and I think it might be best to do that with the whole committee there rather than just myself. And she's aware of the situation there, and we have to make some decisions as to how to move forward if we're going to move forward on renovations to that building. She had a good awareness of all the different things that we needed to do in regard to that, and one of the primary things that she was stressing is carbon monoxide and air quality, and that's something we need to do regardless of what we do for that room because it also affects this area.
Yeah, it primarily came from this room.
Yeah.
And went over.
Yeah.
We're just a reminder. Sometime in August, our extension from Piash runs out for that. So if the committee is going to meet, they need to do it quickly and get in touch with Piash. I don't remember whether that's Paula Skelton, who's with Department of Health, or with the other inspector, the structural engineer.
It's Paula Skelton.
They're listed on the...
It's Paula Skelton.
No, Paula Skelton is for...
Piash.
Yeah, I know. For the air quality in here.
Right.
There was a separate inspection done. Piash is divided into the Department of Health and the other divisions. The other divisions had their own report, which is up there. So I can't remember which one was in particular referring to. Stephen Matthews.
Okay, the air is definitely Paula.
Sorry?
The air quality is definitely Paula.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Okay.
I'd like to shoot for a committee meeting this coming Monday, if people are available, depending on your schedules, for Public Works. Just let me know after the meeting about your availability. If not, we'll work out another date.
Sure.
Okay.
On a question, Mike, about doing NERCO Road there?
Yeah.
The first field, as you make the left onto NERCO Road, the field on the right has a drainage ditch that goes under NERCO Road, and a lot of the wash from the field goes directly into that drainage ditch. It comes into the creek and back up Pine Drive. Is there any way that... that the water could be dampered? A question for Carmela, I guess. You know, I know people put up like bales of hay and stuff like that to.
Bales of hay aren't ideal, and
yeah.
We did talk about all that would entail, all the different improvements as far as drainage, storm drains, and all. So we'll be discussing that in more detail. But she thought that that all of that kind of work could be incorporated into this grant.
Yeah, that particular problem has been around for 10 years.
Yeah, I see it was rebuilt. I mean, there's a nice granite liner wall kind of well there on the right-hand side. And it's really, if the wall was a little taller, I don't know. I'm not an engineer.
Looks beautiful, doesn't work. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah.
And some of the other issues that come up, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did you
want to, okay. Some of the other issues that came up in my discussion with Carmela, although it was brief, we're already in receipt of funding to rehab Homestead Lane. I guess the portion down the other side, not connected to 571. But she wanted to know when we wanted to move ahead on that. And so that's something we should discuss in committee and also in the full council. And she said that could be done this season if we pushed it, but I don't know if she was recommending that or whatever, but we do have grant money that we already received for that, and I think another project was a Spruce Lane. What was it?
I think it's Elm.
Elm. Yeah, Elm. So we need to figure out when we're going to move ahead with that.
What does she consider a season? Like, till winter starts? Or?
Yeah, I think ideally you want to do road work before it gets cold.
I think it was Cedar.
Yeah.
Because I think
it was Cedar,
Elm,
yeah.
Yeah, because Elm
oh,
is where.
Then she wanted to
right.
tack Elm on. Right?
Yeah. And that's basically the end of the report.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Tickton.
We should also mention to her that this would be a good time to do the paving up at the water tower that covers the millings that they milled from the previous.
That's a good point. We'll add that to the agenda then.
I think the adjoining homeowners at the point where he's going to contact the DEP, so the sooner the better on that one. I'd forgotten about that. Thank you.
Okay.
Councilmember Tickton, Community Development, Code Enforcement, and Senior Rep.
Okay. In case of any interest to anybody, this weekend I will be attending a conference of New Deal organizations in Hyde Park. So try to continue the process of making sure people are aware of Roosevelt, which they're generally very happy to know about, and it should be interesting, and I'll certainly report on that when I get back.
Is there any way you could tape that, Mike, so that it would
they
be
actually
people could view
they
it?
Do, they actually do have some tape. What they're going to do is something they did last year, and they had tapes from it last year, where they had some of the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of not only of the Roosevelts, but of other people who are prominent in the administration, were talking about the, you know, about their reminiscences from their families of things, that information that they had that they wanted to share. It's quite interesting because they said they probably had never been a conference like that before where they brought all these people together, and they're going to do that again with a group, with another group of them this year, so there should be another tape.
So are
that.
They
so we'll
available
try yeah, we'll
purchase?
Yeah.
Can we authorize I'll you to?
I will arrange to get. In fact, I'll try to get the one that we had last from last year as well.
Right. Good. We can add that to our.
Sure.
Our
that's something that people are interested in. Something.
Yeah.
It's quite. They're quite interesting. And you know, anybody else wants to go along, you're welcome to come too. Okay. That's all I have to report at this point.
Stacy Bona, Administration and Environmental Rep.
Okay. Well, the Environmental Commission received a letter from the state of New Jersey on July 14th. Dear Mr. Grunewald, congratulations on behalf of the New Jersey Forest Service. I am pleased to inform you that Roosevelt Borough's Community Forest Management Plan is approved for 2017 through 2021. And that's
great.
All I have tonight, Mayor.
Thank you. Other of our clerk, deputy clerk. Anything to report? Councilor?
No report, Mayor.
Okay. Councilmember Peggy Malkin, Finance, Planning Board Rep, and Recreation Commission.
Okay, well, Planning Board has not met in a couple of months, and I have really nothing from Finance or Recreation. I do have a few things I wanted to discuss, but I will wait until new business, since it's not really a committee report.
Okay. Councilmember Jill Lapote, Utilities.
Yes, some of the resolutions that were approved earlier, one of them is a maintenance agreement for all four of our generators, including the one on Lake Drive for the lift station, Borough Hall, and the water and sewer. The modern group power systems was very responsive, came out right away when asked for a bid. They have parts for all four generators. They went around and looked at all of them. And you'll see in their quote, what they do is three minor services and one major service each year, which I think is a good way to handle the service. We did have a power bobble two Sundays ago, and the generator that is at the sewer plant didn't start, but the power came back on, so it was not a major problem, although I went down to make sure the lights were on. The contract with Passaic Valley Sewerage Commission to accept the sludge from the sewage treatment plant expires on September 11th, and so one of the other resolutions that was approved is a three-year contract for them to continue to accept our sludge. We had looked at a couple of other options for taking our sludge, but none of them would accept our sludge. So Passaic Valley Sewerage Authority is still willing to accept our sludge. The price increase went from $46 per 1,000 gallons to $47 per 1,000 gallons, which is really a minimal price increase, and it is for a three-year contract. We have been talking for a while about the tanks that contain our sodium hypochlorite solution at the sewage treatment plant. All of that work was completed by municipal maintenance. We've also talked a little bit about a leak.
I'm sorry, do you mean the chlorine tanks?
I mean the sodium hypochlorite tanks. That's a
okay.
Chlorine solution, yes.
Ah, sorry. My bad.
There was a leak on the floor in the room that contained sulfur dioxide. So chlorine is added to the sewage effluent, and then the chlorine must be taken out of the sewage effluent before you discharge to the acid-pink. And we use sulfur dioxide to get rid of the chlorine. The water was on the floor of the SO2 room, and that is not a good thing because it was corroding the floor. Sulfur dioxide reacts with water to form sulfuric acid.
plumbing company worked with Toby to test the lines and to see where the leak was occurring. They cut off the water line that had caused the leak, and that is, and they have a new line that brings the sulfur dioxide out to the contact tank now. So that has all been fixed as well. The alum storage, alum is added at the head of the sewage plant as a flocculant that causes the solids to settle. The alum is in behind a bulkhead, and that has all been cleaned out, and Holmes, who comes and pumps out our sludge, pumped all of the water and stuff that was in the bottom of the alum pit area and pumped it to the Imhoff tank, so that the next time that AWS comes and takes our sludge to PVSC, that will be removed as well. New locks have been installed at the water and sewer plant, and new lock boxes have been installed. End of report.
Thank you.
Oh, no, I forgot something. You also all got the reports about water quality in the mail. Now I've done.
Thank you. Councilmember Joe Trammell, Environmental Health and Safety.
Okay, as you know, last week or so you let me know that I'm in charge of the indoor air quality.
Can you speak up?
Jeff told me a week or so ago that I'm in charge of the indoor air quality.
It was about a month ago, but yes, in our last meeting.
Okay.
Our last council meeting.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, and since
it
then...
It just seems like it's flown.
Okay, well, yeah, as of last week after I got your email, I spoke with Paula, Paula from the...
Skelton,
right, okay. Paula Skelton from the New Jersey Department of Health, POSHA, and she explained to me what the problems were that we have here in terms of indoor air quality and how to approach them. So the number one problem was we needed somebody that would be the indoor air quality representative. Mm-hmm. So I filled the forms out, and that became me. I'm thinking it should be an employee here because the employees know what's going on with the air before someone like me. But I am that representative now. She also wanted to know what the maintenance schedule was for, say, the air conditioner here.
And we've been talking about replacing it for a couple of years.
Seems to be 100% efficient, seems to work okay. I changed the filter in it today because the filter that was in it did not fit, and it was not filtering anything out of the air. So, I don't know, it seems to work fine. So that was what she needed. I sent her all the forms. I sent her the receipt for the air filters. I showed her that it was installed. So the fines from that part of POSHA have stopped, and they will be calculated from the end of July, I guess it is, when they were supposed to have been taken care of. So this past week, all of that is taken care of. She won't have a number for the fines because she's very busy until sometime in September. And if we do not agree with the fines, if we think they're high, we can... go in and dispute the fines and possibly have quite a reduction of the fines.
Yeah, just as an aside, since she's not here, when I pointed out to her that the fines were $245 a day, mm-hmm. her response was, they're supposed to be over $1,000. Why are they only $245? And my response was, I don't know. You wrote the summons.
She
went back and said, gosh, yeah. I don't know what I did. So
yep.
I'm just saying, yep. Be careful in arguing. If we go up to
I'm not arguing. I'm just following up on whatever she says that we should be doing.
No, I'm saying if we go to a higher authority than her, we run the risk of.
Okay. Well, all the fines are taken care of. Not the fines, but all of the problems that she had are taken care of now. Also, I got a quote from Fume Vent about venting the first aid building. What they have in most firehouses and ambulance squads is a hose sticking down from the ceiling that plugs into the tailpipe. Mm-hmm. I gave it to Anna, and she is looking up a few other quotes. So, and it seems to be fairly reasonable. The equipment quote from Fuma Vent that would handle two ambulances. The equipment proper is about $7,000. And the fan itself would get stowed into the ceiling or the wall on the inside or the wall outside. And as soon as you start up the vehicle, the vent starts, and when you pull out, it pulls itself out. So
I would just strongly suggest that you get together with Public Works, since they're meeting with the engineer on precisely that issue, the repairs to be done.
I will do that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, that's it for me.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, I've mixed up my papers here. That's a shock. Okay, reports of, before we came in, there was a, I noticed that there was a meeting of a committee, and I have not heard a report on that. Can somebody tell me what committee that was? Was that Environmental Health and Safety?
That was Michael's Code Committee. We were just talking about code enforcement.
What about code enforcement?
We were curious what would happen to Kevin tomorrow in court. And now we know. Okay. Michael wants to talk about it. It's up to Michael.
Is that a discussion with Mr. McGrath to answer the questions the committee members had?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. McGrath? Not in respect of that matter, but we have reports of borough officials, and I'm looking to see, other than Joe, I don't see any. Eitan's on vacation, right?
Yes, but Steve is here for the
Environmental. And do you want him to make a report?
Well, we already approved the resolution, so
okay.
He just came in case.
So the best we can get is to go down here. Okay. And then Joe, do you have anything to report on zoning?
Mayor and Council, I don't have a report tonight. After tomorrow night, I'll have more for the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you. We now move on to, there is no old business. We now move on to new business. First is a request by RAP, the Roosevelt Arts Project, to use the Borough Hall, February 3, 2018. Has that date been cleared?
Yeah.
Okay. Any comments on that? So if somebody can make a motion to approve that. Okay. We'll just do a show of hands. All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton, you're against?
What are the hours? I don't have all the information on that. Is it a whole day thing, or?
They're doing some kind of
Okay.
They didn't give hours.
What is it?
Aye.
So there's writing something.
What day of the week is that?
Who knows? So what week?
They recognize.
They usually do between 6 and 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't conflict with anything?
No, there's nothing on that day at all.
February 3.
Saturday.
Can I get a motion either for a Saturday or a Sunday? Okay. Ms. Malkin, you had something that you wanted to discuss at new business?
Yes. Well, at the last council meeting, the mayor and council accepted the resignation of George Vasseur as water sewer, or I guess assistant water sewer operator.
Yeah, could you put the microphone closer to you, please?
Okay, it sounded like it was booming. At the last council meeting, the mayor and council accepted the resignation of George Vasseur as our water sewer assistant. But that's all that was said, and I thought that we were remiss in not discussing George's long and storied tenure here in Roosevelt. As some of you know and some of you may not know, George's family has been here, I believe, since the 40s. His father was the one who originally opened and owned and ran the gas station in town.
Then known as Frenchie's.
Frenchie's, right. A lot of my information is sort of general because George, being the modest person that he is, when I tried to pin him down to give me specific information, he was very reluctant to. But he has worked for the good of Roosevelt for most of his life. He was always the go-to guy in town whenever we needed anything done, whether it had to do with our cars or anything else mechanical. He was a councilman. I'm not sure how many years or terms, but he was a councilman in town. He was in charge of maintenance at the Roosevelt Public School, and he's been part of the water sewer operations for, again, I really don't know, but a long time. So I wanted to officially and publicly thank George, and I also thought that we should pass a resolution commemorating his service to the town for, I don't know, I can't even, 50 years, 60 years, something
Let
like that.
Let me just tag on to that a little bit. George has been with the water sewer system since he's 17 years old, and he's in his 80s now, so he knows the system like the back of his hand. I also understand that when the children from Roosevelt went to Allentown High School, my alma mater, that George was the one that was there to stand up for the children from Roosevelt when they got picked on by the children from Allentown. So
for being Jewish, and he's not.
Well, that was part of it also, and he's not. But whenever I need to know something about the water sewer system, I'll ask everyone, and a lot of times George will have the answer. So I think whatever we can do to thank him for all of his years of service would be in order.
Yeah, thank you.
So can we
second Peggy's motion.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, just put it on the next agenda. Okay.
Here, here.
And since you are a graduate of Allentown High School at the time that the kids from Roosevelt were getting beaten up, do you have anything you want to say?
Actually, I graduated 67, I believe, talking to Johnny and George and folk, that it was about 56 when the people from Allentown started, or the children from Roosevelt High School started going to Hightstown. So that's a little before my time.
56? Yeah. No.
Anybody,
after that,
anybody graduate from Allentown here? Well, you did, but yeah. But from Roosevelt? Yeah, I thought it was in the
Well, what year, if I can ask, Gary, yeah. What year did you graduate?
I graduated with you.
67, man, 67, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I think it was
in 66 they were in Hightstown.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. In the 50s, they stopped going to Allentown. They went to Hightstown. I think it was 56 or so, a little before my time. But
okay.
No, I'm not finished.
Oh.
Okay. Also, I would like to address a complaint that was made by Sharon Waltz at a previous council meeting. This concerns the primary election of June 6, 2017. Ms. Waltz implied that somehow the Finance Committee, which met in the Borough Hall on June 5, 2017, was able to tamper with the voting machines and change the outcome of the election. At the time, I chose not to respond to these accusations because they just seemed ridiculous. The Finance Committee is comprised of Michael Hamilton, Michael Ticton, and myself. Also present at this meeting was George Lang, our Chief Financial Officer. I spoke with Michael Ticton after the meeting, and he simply laughed at the absurdity of these accusations. However, as part of her coverage of town council meetings for the Borough Bulletin, Ms. Waltz printed the implications for the town to read. At this point, I felt it became a serious matter. I've been a councilwoman for 13 years. I'm also a committee woman. I'm also a planning board member, and I've been a welfare director in the past. I value my reputation as an open and honest person. Mike Hamilton has been the mayor, as well as a council person and a Board of Education member. Michael Ticton has held many positions in Roosevelt, including councilman, planning board member, and historic commission chair. George Lang is the CFO in many towns and has a sterling reputation. If Ms. Waltz is disappointed that the candidate she supported didn't win, I'm sorry. But to accuse my colleagues and me of a felony is reprehensible, irresponsible, and completely out of line. So to begin with, I would like Michael Ticton to recount the steps that he told me that are necessary to tamper with a voting machine, and which is why it was impossible for any of us to have done so. So Michael,
sure.
Can you list?
I'll talk, yeah. First of all, I don't think that anyone was alleging that anybody had done this. I think the point was simply that Ms. Waltz was suggesting that that was inappropriate for anybody to be in the building.
No,
but nonetheless, the point was that, in order to do that, you need keys. Nobody can tamper with the machine because you don't have the keys. You have to get keys to get into the machine instead of hitting it with a sledgehammer, which would not make it operable. There's no way to get in there and do anything to the machine. Unless,
plus, if you had a key, you would actually have to know what to do once you got in there.
You have to know what to do, then obviously, right. But okay. The keys would not be with the machine at that point.
In addition, the mayor has installed cameras inside and outside of the borough hall, so Ms. Waltz could have requested that the film be viewed, and this could have alleviated her concerns immediately, and she would not have had to resort to false accusations at a public meeting. Also, the office staff was in the borough hall on the day prior to the election when the machines were delivered, as well as election day. And by the way, the finance committee met in a separate conference room, not in the main room where the machines are. And finally, this is the case at every polling place in the United States. The machines don't magically appear at 6 a.m. They are delivered days early with employees coming and going. And this is of no consequence, since no one has the capability of opening the machine except for well-trained, paid professional poll workers. These accusations are a serious injustice, and I believe that in the interest of responsible reporting, Ms. Waltz owes it to the Finance Committee and the public to print a retraction.
Do you have more for new business?
Pardon me?
Do you have more for new business?
I have one more thing.
Okay.
For anyone who might be interested, this past Friday in the Philadelphia Inquirer was a rather lengthy article about Louis Kahn and his architecture. Roosevelt was not specifically mentioned, but considering that he was one of the architects of our historic homes here, it is an interesting article. So I thought I would make some copies and have them available in the office if anyone is interested in reading. It's this whole front page and the entire back, well, most of the back page. So I'll make copies, and anyone who would like it can come and take a copy. End of reports.
Just for some clarification, I agree with Mr. Ticton. The statement was it was inappropriate and looked bad. She never particularly, specifically
she
implied
said
that you.
It
excuse
made
me,
her sick.
We did. I'll let you speak. Please let me speak. Okay. Second, the mayor did not install the cameras. The cameras were installed well before the last hurricane, which I believe was 3 years ago. And I certainly was. I guess there was a mayor. That would have been Beth at the time.
Well,
as far as the
excuse me, there are cameras.
Excuse me. As far as the equipment goes, let me explain how that works. The equipment does arrive here days early. It is locked in the small conference room over there. You may have noticed that if you come in before an election, not only are those doors locked, but there is yellow tape crisscrossed across the doors to prevent anybody from going into that room, whether they're on the staff or not. That crisscross tape is put on by the people who are authorized by the Election Commission to do that, and that would be our clerk and deputy clerk. They are certified to do that. So it is brought in ahead of time. It appears the night before, which is why we never use this room. For instance, you'll note, I think you've noted, that we moved meetings and canceled meetings because they were the night before the election. And the reason we do that is because the election machines are moved in the evening before, at which point this building is locked. So again, I don't think that what I heard was not an accusation that something happened. The point was that it was inappropriate for people to be in this room, which was locked, and I think that is correct.
Well, we were not in this room, and the direct quote was, "It makes me sick."
Moving on. There are two other, there are a couple of other items. I received two resignations. And we're going to read, get rid of the operative part. The first one is from Deborah Thomas. My time with the borough has been quite interesting. It's taught me a great deal about the operation, goals, and challenges of local government. I wish to thank you, the letter is addressed to me, the council, and members of the community for the support that I have received during the past several years. have enjoyed my time with the borough. Ms. Thomas has left the building. The second one is from Ms. Kelly Tires. It says, I have greatly enjoyed my 20 years working with the borough and have been fortunate to be able to assist many of our residents. Unfortunately, the current atmosphere in the borough makes it difficult to continue, and I have decided to take other employment. I am grateful for the time I have spent working for the borough and the professional relationships I have built. And I believe Dr. Lapote has something to say.
Each of us, Mayor Elentuk, Councilwoman Bana, and myself, joined the council because we believe that citizens have an obligation to volunteer public service. Our individual visions, concerns, and priorities for Roosevelt may differ slightly, but each of us, however, believed and still believe that we have experience, expertise, and mostly a willingness to roll up our sleeves and do work that help Roosevelt to survive in a way that will allow our residents to afford living here. While none of us has accomplished all of our goals, we're proud to say that each of us has helped Roosevelt in many ways. We've devoted countless volunteer hours to the needs of Roosevelt. We've done this because we know that small towns like ours can only survive if elected officials and residents perform many tasks that would otherwise have to be performed by additional paid employees. And we're not alone in our willingness to volunteer for the town. There are devoted and hardworking residents on the First Aid Squad, the Planning Board, the Environmental Commission, the School Board, the Fund for Roosevelt, Roosevelt Arts Project, Solar Village Board, and others. We appreciate the countless hours they have devoted to the needs of Roosevelt. We've been honored to work with many employees of the borough. We're constantly amazed at the staff's devotion to the borough and their willingness to go above and beyond for the borough and residents, sometimes without bothering to charge the town for their time. The business hours of the borough hall are 9 to 4. We have no night crew. Except for our utilities, we have no weekend crews. Unlike in many other towns that have limited budgets, if you need help at 6 a.m., 10 p.m., 2 a.m., 7 days a week, you've been able to get the help you need. And that's part of what makes Roosevelt special. Neither the members of our staff nor we are willing to tolerate the continuing dismissal, denigration, and harassment, which has resulted in the staff resignations this evening. Over the last 2 years, it's been increasingly difficult and costly to the town to accomplish work for which we were elected and for which we've devoted our time and energy. The council, which previously acted with reasonable efficiency and effectiveness despite their differences, now reflects the national spirit of political divisiveness, truthiness, incivility, and personal attacks. Proposals are rejected out of hand simply because they're proposed by one of us. This is not helpful to the town. So as we are no longer effective as council members, we, Jill Lapote, Stacy Bana, and Jeff Elentuk, are resigning effective tonight. We wish to thank our supporters for their faith in us. We know that many of you understand why we can no longer serve.
That was coming whatsoever. I actually came back from vacation tonight for this meeting, so I'm right, what's left?
Public comment.
Oh, public comment. Okay, I'll make a statement so I can get my thoughts together at the end, but for now, does anyone have anything for public comment?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has.
Tim Curry, Three Pine Drive. Most of you know who I am by now.
Public comment at.
Oh. 52?
Yeah.
I have a question for whoever can answer. What happens now? Who's mayor? What happens?
I think the way it works is that the Democratic Committee has to choose the I'm sorry. I think the way it works is that the Democratic Committee has to choose a mayor who will serve until, not until Jeff's term was up, which wouldn't be until the end of 19, but I believe, and I could be wrong, until the next general election.
Well, they propose three names, and depending when the mayor's term was to end is how long it is. But in any case, there's an appointment to serve in the meantime. And they propose three names, and then they give them to the council, and then they have 15 days, and the council has 15 days to choose someone among those three.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
Well, I just said, it creates what is called a vacancy in office, and which is a temporary condition until we follow the procedures outlined by the board.
That's right, yeah. And whether it is until the next general election or for the balance of the term depends on how far into the term you are.
So our next council meeting is August 28th, so that's in 14 days. So I guess the committee has until August 29th, the 15th day?
The committee has until August 29th, the 15th day. They can do it before if they want, but
yeah.
They have until the 29th.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Jeff, good job. Sorry that some of these people on the council really made your job hard.
Just a follow-up. Is the three people selected by the Democratic Committee, does the community get a chance to vote on them, or is it just by a selection of the remaining members of the council?
Just by the committee, I believe.
Yeah, if I may. Yeah, to fill the vacancy until whatever the time period is. And again, the time period depends upon whether there's how much time is left in the term. If there's a cutting off point between, if it happens September 1 of the year before the term is to end, then it's filled for the rest of the term. If not, it's just filled to the next general election. But in either case, the vacancy is filled by the governing body, by the council. And then eventually, obviously, it'll be on the ballot.
So there are three vacancies.
There are three vacancies.
Three vacancies.
Yep.
Therefore, there will be nine members, names selected?
You know, I don't know that there's anything in the statute that says you can't have overlap in names, but obviously you can't have overlap in office. I don't know I don't think there's anything in the statute that says the three, you can't put the same name on each of the three lists or two of the lists or whatever. But the way it works out is you can't have two people filling one office. So,
right. But you can't have one person filling two offices.
You can't have one person filling two offices, yeah. That's what I meant to say if I said something different. That's what I meant to say.
Okay, thank you.
Beth Patel, 64 Lake Drive, as a former mayor, member of the council, member of the planning board, current member of the Environmental Commission, I'd like to thank the individuals involved for their tremendous amount of hard work. I understand their frustration and would definitely like to go on record as saying thank you as a citizen.
Jeff Ellentuck, former mayor, 40 Pine Drive.
Who took John Impellizzeri's place? Who took John Impellizzeri's place? On the council?
Joe, I think.
Joe?
Yeah. No, what do you mean by that?
John Impellizzeri vacated.
No, lost the election.
Last election.
He lost the election.
Oh, he said the last election?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Can I ask Rich a question?
Does anyone from the public have anything else at all? Deb?
Well, I first personally want to, as Beth Patel did, thank these guys for the incredible amount of time and effort they put into the town. And I would like to also especially thank Kelly for all of the years of service. And I sure hope, now that I can talk to you, Peggy, that you take the time to recognize all of these people like you have everybody else who you favor for their endless hard work to make the town a better place to be and be resources for all of us. That's all I wanted to say.
Sean?
Sorry, it's slow, let's calm down. Yes.
We need each other.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bert and I have lived in Shan Ellen Tuck 22 Pine Drive. 22, God. I've lived in a couple of houses, 22 Homestead Lane. We've lived here for 60 years. I've always been very proud of the municipality and the people who work for the municipality, for their civility, for their willingness to work together, for their willingness to compromise when compromise was needed, and certainly for the amount of time and effort every one of the people who serve well put into this job. I know that when I was on the school board, 20 hours a week was not uncommon. It was, as a matter of fact, what I had to do in order to keep things going there. I've been an ex-board member, ex-president of the board. Bert's been on the council. Our son has been, of course, mayor. Our daughter-in-law has been president of the school board. There were times when there was great distress in the town, when people were really unhappy with each other, unhappy with each other's decisions, felt that people were not working to the best of their ability. But everybody managed to come together civilly. And we worked together to keep the town together. We fought off major developers whose development would have changed the town considerably. We fought off the synagogue whose development would have changed the town considerably. I am terrified and appalled to think that the destruction of this town is coming from within. To quote you, Peggy, behavior in this last few months has been, I quote, reprehensible, irresponsible, and out of line. I hope that the future will be a lot better because we love this town and we do want it to survive.
Mark Connors, 23 North Rochdale. I'm very upset with what I just saw, and I'm very grateful for everything everybody's done that got up and left. But amazingly, the problems are still here. Now, there's been a big battle with people with the water. I want to know what's going to be done. You walk outside here, you break your neck in the parking lot, you break your neck on the sidewalk out here. Everybody says how beautiful this town is. Anybody taking care of it? It's the borough parking lot out here. You can't drive up it. A borough sidewalk out here. You can't walk on it. You want people to walk down here because there's no parking. So you're basically saying, Stacy, walk down the road, but break your ankle on the sidewalk. Which, thank you, by the way, for cleaning. Ladies and gentlemen, you got your hands full. And It can't be put off. We've got to look at it. We've got to look at a meeting. You know, I read an article the other day that Powell went to the state and asked for $2 million plus for their water system because they have a problem. We got a water problem. Anybody can tell me where the money's coming from? Anybody can tell me how we're going to repair it? Is anybody going to say anything? I'm going to take that as a no.
Anyone else from the public? Okay, well, I'm sorry.
Gus Foley, 19 Pine Drive. So I live in Maine most of the year, and I come back to Roosevelt for the summers at times, and my family, I grew up in Roosevelt. I'm just here for a couple weeks, and I stopped in to see the current climate. Really, I wanted to check it out. I really have no horse in either any of these races. All I care about is the best betterment for the town, a place that I plan on coming back to and plan on making better myself. So I understand that people that just resigned. I have tremendous respect for you guys. I really do. I know some of you guys personally, and it comes from that, as well as understanding how much goes into the town. But my real question is just, as my elected officials, you guys just decided to resign. And I would like to think that as my elected officials, that everything you do is for the betterment of the town. And so I'm willing to give you guys that benefit of the doubt. And so I would like to know if you guys did resign for the betterment of the town, what is it that you hope to happen? Because I kind of would like, for my sake, to kind of get that out there.
Well, you have to direct, I'm sorry, Gus, but
yeah.
The way it works is that you have to direct your comments to the table, and you can't really... You can ask them after the meeting,
okay.
But it can't be a discourse. It just has to
be. I understand. All right. Well, I guess that's just something for the public to think about. There's my questions in my head right now.
Addressing the council and not Mr. Foley. And I speak for myself and not for my compatriots. As Dr. Lapote said, we came in and we were elected to do a job. And when it gets to the point that we cannot do that job, or when the public indicates by vote that they want to switch the way the council works, that makes any attempt by us to do anything useless. And therefore, from my point of view, since there is no, as much fun as it seems, sitting up there and having people yell at you and curse at you and make nasty speeches to you, whether from the audience or from the council, is not a lot of fun. Okay? And if you cannot achieve anything, there is no sense in staying. And so while we have heard for a long time that there's a plan to fix all this, and the town seems to agree that they should vote people in to do that, that the result is that we should step out of the way and let them implement their plan. So we look forward to the driveways being fixed, to the fire building being torn down or fixed, to the Borough Hall, to the first aid building, to the water, to the sewer, to the I&I studies, preferably before Peosha and the DEP find us. We look forward to letting you guys do what it is that you're planning on doing. And that is the answer to Mr. Foley's question. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Nancy Warnick, 4 Homestead Lane. I don't know if I, as far as I know, Kelly has never received any benefits, medical. She's not a part of the pension system. I don't believe she's a full-time regular employee, regardless of how many hours that she has recorded, whether they're voluntary or not. Okay, and she's given a lot of her time and a lot of her heart. Also, it takes a lot to run a community. We have, I believe, perhaps 1,000 residents in town. We have maybe less than 10% of that at the public school. If you've all gotten your tax bills, if you look at the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the distribution of the taxes. People complain their taxes are high here, taxes are high here. They are mailed from this office. Less on my tax bill is about $5,600 a year. I'm going to use round figures, but only $1,500 of that $5,600 goes to running this entire community. Forget about utilities. That is a utility like electric and gas, and you cannot live without water and sewer. You can live without electric and gas. More than twice that amount of money goes to running the school, and everyone sees how beautiful that school is and how well it's run and how well the students are doing, and we've been bragging about that for decades, and it takes money to run something properly. And another $600 approximately goes to the county. So there isn't a huge amount of money to run this entire town and to run it properly. So for all of the complaints that have been thrown at the council and at the employees, people should be ashamed of themselves. Thank you.
Brad Garten, 17 Pine Drive. This is in reference to your taking umbrage about the election machines. Kind of sucks to be accused of criminal activity, doesn't it?
When it's unfounded.
When it's unfounded? Wonderful. Yeah. Sorry. Jill, I'm sorry. You know, yeah, you caught us. You know, PhD in environmental science, 30 years of service to public environment, multiple testimony in front of Congress about environmental issues, work in Africa, work with the National Academy of Sciences. That was all a big scam, Peggy, because we wanted to fleece our neighbors of their money. Come on, give me a fucking break.
I don't know what you're...
That's it, I can't say anymore.
Referring to.
Read what that bozo said.
Deirdre Sheehan, 18 Pine Drive. I think what has happened tonight is a shame.
Let me finish.
I've been to several of these meetings over the year, a lot of meetings, and the only person I've seen attack is Peggy. And also the signs on last election was pretty ugly. That was pretty ugly, all those signs up and down the roads. I mean, I just, you know, this is tough. And I do appreciate all the work all of you have done, Jeff and Jill, everyone. I do. And I want to see this water bill thing resolved. Because, frankly, if that bill goes up too much higher, we're going to have a ghost town. So we've all got to work together to try to come up with a solution. Because one of the beautiful things about Roosevelt, I think, is the fact that it's economically diverse. I mean, I live next to a mansion on one side, and then some very modest houses on the other side. But anyway, I think it's been a very tough couple of years, and both sides got pretty ugly. And I just don't see it as so one-sided. I mean, I think I remember those awful signs every morning popping up all over town. It's just, anyway, that's all I've got to say.
Third Ellen, 39 Pine Drive.
22 Mass Pulse.
There were two referendums in this town. I think there were three or four referendums in this town. And the referendums were required in order to fix the firehouse or build a new firehouse and fix the water plant and fix the sewer plant. Both referendums were turned down. And a body of members of this council were people who were opposed to those, to the positive endings of those referendums. You're the problem. Let's face it. I'm sorry. You're the problem. And that's why we're going to have, we're going to spend millions of dollars, which we don't have to, we could have avoided if you hadn't campaigned against the referendums. I mean, let's speak the plain truth, and that's the truth.
Anyone else?
Oh. I read a statement, Jill Lapote, 17 Pine Drive, Roosevelt. I read a statement earlier that was a joint statement of three of us, Jeff Allentuck, Stacey Bonna, and myself. But each of us has our own reasons why we resigned. My resignation letter, which I've turned into the clerk, contains those reasons. I'll post them on the bulletin board and put them in the borough bulletin so that the public can be aware of all of those reasons. I just want to read one piece of it. The vision that I had for the town was one where we would address our long-term issues through long-term investment, paid off in a long-term strategy unless grants were available. The costs would be borne by the people living in town benefiting from the services. That's what bonds do for town. They spread the costs over time. At some point in time, a group of people formed who felt that the town's direction was misguided. They were effective in their campaigns. And after a number of costly referenda, countless argumentative council meetings, and general hard feelings, I concede that my vision is not shared by the majority of Roosevelt voters or by some members of council. But the decisions made here are permanent. The dismissal of the Roosevelt Volunteer Fire Company and selling the fire department assets means that Roosevelt's now committed to contracting with neighboring towns for fire coverage in perpetuity. Town's asset was lost, and I can only imagine how hurt the firefighters were at the end of their service to the town. Roosevelt's problems have not been solved. There are daily issues. I might mention that the valve at the base of the water tower is held together with a strap. We need to solve these issues, and we need to come together. You're right. But I think that by stepping aside, I get out of the way of whatever vision other people have for this town. Thank you.
Sam Lopez, 7 Homestead Lane. First of all, I've never seen you move so fast to get into that seat, Peggy. And honestly, this is the first time I think I've seen
you
smile.
That is not true.
Therefore, it's my turn to speak. Don't cut me off. That being said, you guys fought them tooth and nail from the fire department. And you're the chair. I can speak directly at you. So, the fire department, the water system. Listen, okay? You got what you want. But now it's time to strap up your boots. You're sitting there. You guys fought for so long, you guys fought so hard, but now what are you going to do? The ball's in your court. So now when stuff goes downhill, you can't blame Jeff. You can't yell at Jeff from that seat. You can't blame Jill. You can't blame Stacy. Now the blame is on you. So I just hope you're ready for that responsibility, because it seems like it's what you want. Thank you.
Stacy Bona, resident, 17 Homestead Lane. I would just like to thank the borough and the council for my time on the council. If it weren't for Michael Ticton, I have to say I had no interest in politics. This is why. This is exactly why. But Michael explained to me Roosevelt is different. It's not politics. It's volunteer work. Volunteer work? Oh, that's right up my alley. Sign me up. So it's been fun, some of it. Some of it not so much fun. It's been wonderful educational experience through my council activities and environmental commission activities. I've made a lot of new friends who are our neighbors. I have no regrets for that. I have no regrets for any of my time. And I got to marry people. Thank you very much.
Tim Curry, 3 Pine Drive. This will be quick. Just one thing. Kelly, she's tremendous. She's done a lot. But, you know, when the white stuff's coming down in the wintertime, who's the first person out there? Who's the first person you hear in the morning? Kelly. So that truck's in the firehouse with the plow in front of it. I hope one of you guys practice your skills on plowing, because come November, December, we're going to need it or everybody's trapped. So thanks, guys.
Is there anyone else who has anything they'd like to add, like to say? Okay, public portion is closed at 8:20.
Can I speak?
Well, I'd like to make a statement. I haven't had much time to think about this. I will say this much. I'll have a better one prepared for the next meeting, but for now, if anyone thinks that I'm receiving, I can't speak for my colleagues, although I'm fairly certain I know how they feel, but if anyone thinks that I have any pleasure from this, they are completely mistaken. I've been here a very long time. I look around the room, I only see about 3 or 4 people who have been here longer than I have, and this is very, very sad. Very sad that it has come to this. I'm not sure that anything like this has ever happened in the history of Roosevelt, and I take no pleasure in this. In fact, it's a little scary, I admit. I'm not quite sure how we will, you know, we will do what we have to do, but
you have a lot of ideas before.
Excuse me.
Hope it was worth it.
Excuse me.
What are you going to do? Talk while I'm on.
Anyway, this is, it's a very sad day, and I'm very sad about it. And I think that it's sorrowful that it did have to come to this, and that the council, every one of whom works extremely hard, not one group or another group, but all the council members work very hard and put in very long hours. And the situation in the last couple of years has been horrendous, and it's been upsetting, and it's been, you know, a debacle, quite honestly. So, but we will meet, we will do what we have to do to get the seats filled, to get the mayor's position filled, and we will carry on and do the best that we can. I'll try to answer some of the statements that were made and concerns that were expressed by the next meeting, which I'm actually not supposed to be here. I don't even know how. I cannot be here on August 28th, so I'm not exactly sure what we'll do. But I think there may be a possibility we may have to postpone that meeting, but we'll see. Anyway, thank you all for attending. And oh, no, yeah, I'm so sorry. Michael, go ahead.
Okay. I just want to express that everyone in the public has spoken, and I join saying that I clearly very much appreciate having had the opportunity to serve with Jeff and Jill and Stacy, and with Kelly and with Deb, as well as being able to serve with the other people on the council. I just hope that we will find a way to come together, and that people will put aside their differences and just concentrate on the benefit of the community, try to listen to what other other people have to say and to understand what other people are saying, why, you know, why things have to be done, and try to get them done in the hope that we will get out of this current civil war situation. And as U.S. Grant said, let us have peace. So hopefully that will happen without any great suffering.
Anyone else at the table want to say anything?
I'd also like to thank Jill and Jeff and Stacy for all of their hard work and service for the community. Over the years, I've served on a lot of different public bodies and a lot of different councils, and we have had real arguments. I mean, shout down matches where I thought it would come to fisticuffs if we weren't more restrained. Over the years, it's happened. It's happened here, and I'm just really, I'm very surprised. I'm shocked. Even though we have differences of opinion, I've always tried to understand and work with what those differences are, and I'm hoping that we can move forward as a community to heal these wounds and also to work together to manage the town as a full community, being acceptant and tolerant of all our differences of opinion, and actually try to find ways to compromise. I think compromise was mentioned tonight, and I think that that's been lacking, and I think that we do need to come together and find ways to work together for the common good.
I want to thank everybody for their service also, and I do want to say that I think we should have a special meeting sometime before this next council meeting on the 28th, and we should try to figure out what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. So I don't know what a good date would be.
Figure that out.
We will give public notice of it in the post office on reverse 911. I don't know, but everybody should know.
Nope. And perhaps waiting to the 28th would make sense if it gives the Democratic Committee the time to come up with names so we'd actually able to do something. We can't do anything until that time has passed.
Right. I can attend by phone, but I can't.
Well, I suppose you can come up with a name sooner.
Right.
If the two of you come up, since the two members of the Democratic Committee are right here, if they can come up with names sooner, that would allow us to move forward sooner. Really, isn't your court in that role at this point?
Right.
Okay. Anything else from anyone? Since this is a little bit out of order, but it's an odd night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Meeting's adjourned. 8:25.
Move to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
And who was second?
Mr. Trumel.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Now. 8:25.